I'm Barbara Glickstein, and you're tuned into Health Styles. There's no such thing as a child prostitute. This was just one of the straightforward facts made by Min Dang to reporters, including myself, attending the McCormick Institute on Reporting on Sex and Trafficking, a Local Problem with Global Dimensions. The Institute was sponsored by the Robert McCormick Foundation and the ARENA Project at the University of North Carolina School of Journalism and Mass Communication. The ARENA Project, referred to as TIP, is co-directed by Barbara Friedman and Dr. Ann Johnston. They monitor media representations of sex trafficking and advocate for the responsible and accurate reporting of sex trafficking. Drs. Friedman and Johnston presented their research looking at 5 years of international and national media coverage on sex trafficking. Their research identified patterns framing the issues, including the use of language. They found that the label prostitute or hookah was most frequently used by reporters to describe the persons involved. Under federal law, children cannot consent to being a prostitute, and a child does not need to be moved across international or even state borders to be considered a victim of commercial sexual exploitation. In the United States, a minor is defined as someone under the age of 18. Journalists struggle with reporting on sex trafficking and all trafficking and how to better frame the stories. This was significant time dedicated to addressing the lack of reliable data on the issue and how to work with that limitation. But that's not all. In several sessions, we heard directly from women survivors on what it was like being interviewed by journalists. Not all good. One suggested that we, quote, stay in our lane, end quote. My guest is Becky Owens-Ballard, project director of the Denver Anti-Trafficking Alliance. She recently published a post on the Colorado Coalition Against Sexual Assault titled, Take Off the Cape, Why Using the Word Rescue is Harmful to Anti-Trafficking Efforts. Thank you for joining me today, Becky Owens-Ballard from Colorado.
Thank you for having me.
So again, there's another word that has consistently been used in the both reporting and even in, sadly, the advocacy community working to try and find effective means to prevent and stop human trafficking or modern-day slavery. Talk to us about this concern that you have and so have clearly articulated in your post about the use of the word rescue and why it doesn't fit in this situation.
So my introduction to the use of the word rescue was when I first came to the anti-trafficking field about 5 years ago. And I had come from domestic violence and sexual assault fields and really was surprised to hear this term referring to essentially the identification and assistance provided to human trafficking victims. And why it really doesn't fit and the harm that it can cause is that it provides a really simplistic view of what human trafficking is. It really kind of supports a lot of those misconceptions and stereotypes that we hear about human trafficking in that it gives you an idea of trafficking as a person who is a stranger, who is kidnapping their victims, potentially keeping them locked up and chained, and that person is just waiting for someone to come and rescue them. And what we really see in the anti-trafficking field, both in sex and labor trafficking, is that human trafficking is much more complex than that. There are a number of different types of abuse that individuals who are experiencing trafficking undergo. Traffickers are employing psychological abuse, verbal abuse. They are, you know, working their trafficking situation to essentially make sure that that victim is controlled in a number of different ways outside of physical and sexual abuse. And what's harmful is that when the general public thinks that we can just kind of bust down the doors and rescue victims, is it gives us a really simple idea of what trafficking is and doesn't really speak to the complexities of the types of abuse that people are experiencing and who traffickers themselves are, because we often see traffickers who are family members or intimate partners, people who are known to victims, not necessarily this stereotypical idea of a stranger kidnapping someone.
How do you think that word, or as you've dealt with or had the opportunity to hear from people who have escaped these situations, either in many different ways people get out of it, what's their sense of the worst use of the word rescue as well?
So I can say that I worked on the National Hotline on Human Trafficking, which is run by Polaris Project, and I don't remember any call that we received from a victim or survivor of human trafficking where they identified themselves as a trafficking victim or survivor.
How would they refer to themselves?
So typically the call was someone saying, you know, I'm not really sure this is the right place for me to contact or to call. I don't know if what happened to me really fits into this idea of trafficking. And a lot of that came from the media, and the information that we see surrounding trafficking really hones in on this idea of someone who's maybe locked away or chained up. We see a lot of images around human trafficking that really evoke that idea of someone being confined, and then someone obviously needing to be rescued. And so when people saw that as the idea around trafficking, it provides a lot of, you know, confusion about, does this categorization really fit with me? So this idea around rescuing really doesn't resonate most times with victims and survivors in this situation, because it's very complex and leaving isn't as simple as someone might think.
How should we be talking about this?
So in my article, I suggest that we utilize a lot of the traditional language around work in other victim services areas. So I mentioned, for example, in my previous work in the domestic violence and sexual assault fields, that my former coworkers would be appalled to hear someone say that they rescued a victim from their abusive situation or from a situation of sexual assault. And the reason for that are, you know, all the reasons that we mentioned, that it really offers a very simplistic idea of the crime, but it also doesn't speak to being trauma-informed and having mutuality and empowerment in our services and our response. And so I would suggest using traditional terms that we utilize in other fields, such as identification and assistance. So what we're really doing by, for example, on the National Hotline, speaking with someone who is a victim or survivor of trafficking, is we're offering them assistance. And we've, of course, identified them as, say, a survivor of labor trafficking. But we are not rescuing them in a way that, you know, could imply that we're doing all of the work, that we're the quote-unquote hero in the situation. Because that term really becomes about the rescuer and not about the person who is entwined in that situation, as you described, who has a number of reasons why they're staying.
Thank you, Becky Owens-Bullard, for joining me on Health Styles today. Go to Colorado Coalition Against Sexual Assault and find the blog post, Take Off the Cape, Why Using the Word Rescue is Harmful to Anti-Trafficking Efforts. Thank you.